The challenges of youth. O youth in the path of Islam, stand tall. O youth in the path of Islam, stand tall. With patience and prayer, you shall not fall. With patience and prayer, you shall not fall.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم has encouraged us to recite salawat upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, our recitation of salawat upon the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a great means of rahmah, a great means of blessings, a great means of mercy for us. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who recites salawat upon me once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon that person. Subhanallah azza wa jal, you and I are in need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is our wazifa. It is a recitation of salawat upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu alayhi Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to witness another day, and we are in another episode of The Challenges of Youth, and we welcome our dear and honorable viewers of Madani Channel to another episode of this wonderful program, The Challenges of Youth, in which we discuss various challenges that the youth face and how to overcome them, through Islamic guidance. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, today we're going to discuss another one of those challenges in our lives as youth. So if you have any youth around you, then please do gather them. Gather them so that they may also gain from this Islamic guidance regarding today's topic of discussion. And we're going to get into today's topic of discussion just after the kalam. So please do stay tuned. And we have a very important and interesting topic of discussion today, inshallah ta'ala. Please sit back, relax, enjoy this beautiful, wonderful kalam in praise of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
ऐसा कोई इंतजाम हो जाए सलाम के लिए हाजिर गुलाम سلام کے لیے حاضر غلام ہو جائے میں صرف دے صرف دیکھ لوں ایک بار صبح تیبا کو بلا سے پھر بلا سے پھر میری دنیا میں شام ہو جائے تجلیات سے بھر اپنا کا سائے جان تجلیات سے بھر لوں میں اپنا کا سائے جان، کبھی جون کی گلی حضور آپ جو سن لے تو بات بن جائے، حضور آپ جو سن لے تو بات بن جائے، حضور آپ جو کہہ دیں تو کام ہو جائے، حضور آپ جو کہہ دیں تو کام ہو جائے، اور حضور آپ جو چاہے تو کچھ نہیں مشکل، حضور آپ جو چاہے تو کچھ نہیں مشکل، سمٹ کے پاس لائے چند گام ہو جائے، سمٹ کے پاس لائے چند گام ہو جائے، اور مزہ تو جب ہے فرشتے یہ قبر میں کہہ دے، مزہ تو جب ہے فرشتے یہ قبر میں کہہ دے، سبھی حمد خیر الانام ہو جائے، سبھی حمد حت خیر الانام سلام کے لیے حاضر غلام ہو جائے.
سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ الحمدللہ رب العالمین. How wonderful we feel and how much we enjoyed the recitation of Naat, praises of the beloved of Allah. Why do we enjoy it so much? We enjoy it because he's the beloved of Allah and he's our beloved. Alhamdulillah رب العالمین. And naturally the lover feels joy when listening to the praise of the beloved. Alhamdulillah. So if you feel joy, you feel relaxation, you feel serenity, you feel peace when listening to the Naat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, this is good news. This is glad tidings for you that your love for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so strong that when your beloved is praised, you as the lover are feeling joy, feeling happiness, feeling serenity and feeling peace descend upon you and upon your heart. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. This is the ni'mah of Allah. You must thank Allah azza wa jal for his ni'mahs. Alhamdulillah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, as we promised that after the kalam, we were going to get into today's topic of discussion. And today's topic of discussion is the harms of haste. The harms of haste. Yes, the harms of haste, dear viewers of Madani Channel. And today we're going to be talking about haste and how much of difficulties it causes in our lives. Now, haste. Haste is when we try to do something too quickly. Too quickly, and to the extent that we start making mistakes in that which we are doing. We don't pay attention to the fine details that need to be paid attention to. And thus we make various mistakes in our work, many a times important work. And this haste is not good for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us against it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guided us against haste, the general haste. Yes, there are certain things that we must be hasty in. And you will come to know about those things, inshallah azza wa jal, by the end of the program. But first we're going to discuss the harms of haste in various things in our lives. Firstly, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has educated us in every step of life. Alhamdulillah, us as believers, we have the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we don't have to go looking far and wide and trying to figure out things on our own. Why? Because our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guided us through along every step of our lives. Alhamdulillah. And here too, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guided us through his blessed hadith where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, haste is from shaitan. So it is shaitan that encourages us to be hasty in our decisions, to be hasty in our actions, to be hasty in our tasks. Why? Because shaitan knows that if we are going to be hasty, then we are going to come up with lots of imperfections. We're not going to be able to fulfill our tasks properly as we are supposed to fulfill them, because shaitan does not want you to accomplish. He doesn't want you to be successful, and thus he tries to encourage you to be hasty. And unfortunately, our lives are lived in this haste, that from the morning to the evening, we are just hasty in everything. Unfortunately, many would wake up late and then they'd rush, and we'd rush to do this and rush to do that and rush to have a shower and rush to brush our teeth and rush to make wudu and rush to perform salah, and everything is just performed in haste, and then rushing off to work and then driving fast to work and then reaching work a little bit late. Allahu Akbar. And then the rest of the day just goes on in haste until we reach the evening, and hastily we are getting home and hastily we are eating. Allahu Akbar. So many things done in haste, one after the other. And what does that bring about? It brings about imperfection upon imperfection. That no matter what it is that we are doing, because we are hasty in it, we leave out important details. We leave out important matters in what we are doing, and unfortunately, thus we don't accomplish it the way we are supposed to accomplish it. We don't reach our goals the way we are supposed to reach our goals, all because we've just chosen to be hasty. Rather, we need to be calm. We need to carry out our tasks with calmness. Why? Because that calmness assists us in ensuring that everything is done in its particular way, in its proper way, the way it's supposed to be. And subhanallah, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us again towards that which is good and against that which is bad. We learn that calmness is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but hastiness is from Shaitan. So being hasty is going to make us miss out so many details and carry out everything in the wrong manner. But calmness, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, will ensure that we carry out things the way we are supposed to, and thus we don't become careless and make mistakes, because the hasty one becomes careless, doesn't pay attention to details. And there are so many examples of things that we are hasty in, and that causes us to lose so much of the benefit that we could receive if we were calm and we carried out things calmly. Like subhanAllah, a beautiful example from the blessed hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has once said that the worst of thieves is the one who steals in his salah. Allahu Akbar. Someone stealing in salah? Yes, that surprised expression that we have, the ashab had as well, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can someone steal in his salah? We can't imagine someone stealing in their salah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the worst of thieves is the one who steals in his salah. So upon this, the sahaba asked, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can someone steal in their salah? To this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, that he can steal in his salah through this, that he does not perform his ruku' and his sujood properly. That means he is hasty in how he performs his ruku' and his sujood. And in another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he does not straighten his back in ruku' and in sujood. That means when he is performing ruku' and sajda, he does it in such a hasty manner. He just goes down for sajda quickly, and he comes up quickly and goes down again, like a chicken or like a hen that is pecking on the ground, that he's not taking time. So he's not taking time in performing his salah, in performing his ruku' and sujood in such a way that he establishes his sajda properly, that he can at least recite his tasbih within his ruku' and within his sajda in a proper and in a calm manner. And this is also so important. Ta'adil arkan, that means ensuring that you are in ruku', in the proper ruku' posture, and doing so calmly, and sajda too, in the proper sajda posture and doing so calmly. Remember, in salah, we must perform our ruku' and sujood properly in such a way, in such a relaxed and calm manner, that one should at least be able to say subhanallah within his ruku' and within his sajda. Yes, of course, you should recite the recommended tasbihat, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in ruku' and Subhana Rabbi al-A'la in sajda. But we shouldn't perform ruku' and sajda so quickly, like someone who is imitating a chicken that is just pecking on the ground, that is going down and coming up and going down and coming up. This is not the way to perform salah. One who performs salah in this way, he is stealing from his salah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he is the worst of thieves, because he's performing salah in this hasty manner. And Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali, the commentator of the Holy Quran, and subhanallah azza wa jal, he is one of those who have commented on the ahadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaching us the fine details and lessons that we learn from the hadith. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali, has mentioned regarding the thief of salah, that how is he the worst of thieves? And he's given beautiful explanations on it. That because the one who steals from people, the one who steals worldly things, perhaps he'll receive some benefit. What kind of benefit? Yes, he'll be punished, most definitely. Within the world and during his life, he will receive some benefit perhaps from the things that he's stolen. If he's stolen some money, maybe he'll make use of the money. If he's stolen some belonging, maybe he'll make use of it. So some sort of benefit may be received, although his punishment is very severe. But the one who steals in his salah, what benefit does he receive? There is no benefit that he receives from anything. Plus, he is also punished because he's stolen from his salah. Allahu Akbar. So this person only faces loss. Only faces loss. And another reason as to why the worst of thieves is the one who steals from his salah, because the one who steals from people, he has violated the rights of people. But think, the one who steals from his salah, he has violated the rights of the Creator. He has violated the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who can be worse than the one who has violated the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allahu Akbar. Thus, we should ensure that we should not be hasty in our performance of our ibadat, in our performance of salah. You find hastiness as well in recital of the Holy Quran, that sometimes huffaz, qurra, or people reading the Holy Quran are hasty. They try to read the Quran very fast. And many a times you find this even in Ramadan al-Mubarak, in the blessed month of Ramadan. You find that people are hasty in reciting the Holy Quran during Salatul Taraweeh. And what is the result of that? They end up missing letters during the recitation. They end up missing maddas. They end up missing harakat. They end up missing out words in their recitation just because they are hasty and they want to recite the Quran quickly and finish their taraweeh quickly. But what benefit are they going to receive? They are not going to truly receive the benefit of reciting the Holy Quran properly with tajweed and all of the words of the Holy Quran. And thus, since they are missing out words, they don't complete the recitation of the entire Quran. The intention was to read the entire Quran. But unfortunately, they don't accomplish that because in their haste, they have missed out words and letters of the Holy Quran. Allahu Akbar. This is the harm of being hasty in ibadat. And you find that this haste then carries on. It goes on into so many different activities and so many affairs of life. Unfortunately, like someone wants to start a business, but he's hasty in starting a business. Suddenly he wants to start a business, but just suddenly he wants to start it immediately. So one who is hasty in initializing and starting his business, what happens to him? He chooses the wrong spot for his business because he didn't do research, he didn't do surveys, he didn't look out and decide that this is the best place to open the business, this is the best location for the business, this is the best time to open and this is the best time to close. He didn't survey what is the needs of the people around that area. So he just decided that I want to open a business and the closest business I can open or the quickest business I can open, that's the one I want to open. Where something is readily available to me, but it may not fulfill the needs of the people. It might not be a suitable area. The location may not be good. Perhaps the rental that he is paying in that shop may not be good. So there are so many things that the person is going to overlook, that the person is not paying attention to, and this is going to cause him severe losses, all because of haste. So you find those who open businesses in haste without paying attention to the fine details that they were supposed to pay attention to. They just run the business for a month or 2 months or 3 months or for a short while. And when they realize that it's causing them so much of losses, then they just say, no, business was a bad idea. No, it's just that we were too hasty in starting it. And haste was the bad idea. It is the haste that is not good. And there are various other examples. For example, someone wants to get married. But instead of taking their time and ensuring that they do the necessary research, instead of paying attention to the fine details and allowing their families to do the necessary inquiries before they get married, they are just hasty in marriage. They may just look at something that may be appealing to them and thus they want to hastily go into that marriage. For example, someone may see that their potential spouse is very wealthy. So quickly, before they can do any inquiries, they just decide that, this is a good idea that I should get married to this person, and they go into marriage. And then they realize that, yes, this person was very wealthy, is very wealthy, but there are so many more necessary parts of one's character and of marriage that this person does not have. And then after some time, after some months and after some years, they hold their head and say, if only I took a little bit of time and I allowed the necessary inquiries to take place and then I could get married. Or there could be haste in other things. For example, someone wants to rent a house, or someone wants to rent a flat, and they do so in haste, that just suddenly I need a flat or suddenly I need a house, and then quickly they just find one place and without, you know, doing a little more research, without making a few more inquiries, they just rent out that house. And then they realize that the owner of this house or the owner of this flat is making my life a misery. That everything that I would want to be able to do freely in my home, now I cannot do because this person is on my back all the time, watching over me and making rules as time goes along that yes, you can do this, but no, you can't do that. And then you want to do something else and you have guests over and they say, no, you can't have guests. And your parents or your siblings or some relative of yours comes over to visit or comes over to spend the night. And then they say, no, you can't do that as well. And then the person sits back and realizes that, if only I thought a little, if only I inquired a little before I had rented this house from this person. I was looking at the house and thinking how wonderful it is, but I didn't look at the owner of the house to see what kind of person he or she is. Allahu Akbar. Just like marriage, that I was looking at one characteristic that maybe I saw beauty, and then I thought that this would be, physical beauty would be the characteristic that I would like in a person, and now I found that, and therefore quickly I want to marry. But then we didn't look at beauty of character, that is the good akhlaq, the akhlaq of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the akhlaq he sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught. Is that akhlaq also found in the person? The family, the background of this person, is it a good background? Or is it a background of sin? Is it a background of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it's important to pay attention to these things, and we can only accomplish these things if we go into whatever it is that we are going into in the state of calmness, thinking clearly, understanding what it is that we are going into and what it is that we want, and then taking the necessary steps, step by step, just like that. Our youth, and this is the challenges of youth, and this is such a challenge that we enter examination rooms and we answer examination papers in haste, just quickly. Or a young person decides to go for an interview and they give the answers in haste as the question is asked, before even thinking about it, before even taking a breath, before even, you know, trying to digest the question. Quickly we want to give an answer. And what do we realize? That we make so many mistakes. So many mistakes. We say the wrong thing. We say things that weren't in our mind. You know, the slip of the tongue just continuously happens, and we just say, it's no fault of the mind. No, but if we just took a little time, we wouldn't have the slip of the tongue. If we answered in a calm, relaxed manner, if we thought about our answers before we gave them, you find that many a time students walk out of the examination room and then they're holding their heads like, I didn't read the question properly. The question asked for this and I knew it, but I answered with some other answer. That, I knew the answer, but I skipped the question. Why did you skip the question? No, I was just rushing through the paper. I was trying to answer quickly. Oh, I didn't read the instruction correctly. The instruction asked for one thing, and I answered in a different way. It was asked that I write it in this way, but I answered in a different manner, and there I've lost marks. Where I could have achieved it, where I could have gained those marks, but I've lost the marks. And what's the reason that we've lost the marks? What's the reason that we lost the marks? Just because we chose to be hasty. Had we chosen to be calm, to be collected, and then to go into it thinking clearly, subhanallah azza wa jal, we would have done so much better. So it's not often that students don't know their answers and therefore they have difficulties or therefore they do badly. But many a times it's just because they were too hasty in answering their questions and going ahead with their exams. And then you find haste in salah, haste in acts of worship, haste in fast, haste in hajj, and all of this, what does it cause? Really, what benefit does it bring? It doesn't bring us any benefit. It just causes us to make mistake upon mistake. And then when we are hasty in carrying out a task, you find that the most important parts of those tasks are left out. And then we need to go back and we need to redo the task. And what does that cause? That which we were hasty in doing, in order to save time, now we need to go back and redo it, and thus we are wasting time. You thought you'd save time, or we thought we'd save time, and thus we did it in a hasty fashion. But now that we haven't fulfilled it in the correct way, we haven't fulfilled the requirements of the task, now we need to go back and redo the task. And what does that cause? It causes us just to waste more time. So if we did it in the way we were supposed to, in a calm manner, then subhanallah azza wa jal, we find that we don't need to go back and do that which we have done already. So thus, what is actually saving time? Being hasty or being calm? Subhanallah, there's a lovely saying in English as well, that slow and steady wins the race. Slow and steady wins the race, because you are doing things slowly, you're doing things calmly. Yes, you don't have to delay things, but do things in their prescribed proper manner. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, you will see that you will accomplish your tasks as you wanted to, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, yes, we know, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا, that insan, human beings are very hasty. It's, shaitan encourages us towards it anyway, because he doesn't want us to succeed. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who takes his time, he achieves his goal. Or it is likely that he will attain it. But the one who makes haste, the one who does it in a hurry, he makes mistakes, and it is likely that he will not make it, that he will not achieve his goals. So if we want to achieve our goals, we need to be calm. We need to take the necessary time and then achieve our goals. But if we are just too hasty in it, then we are bound to make mistakes. And then how will we achieve our goals? Allahu Akbar. So may Allah give us tawfiq to ensure that we take our time and that we are calm about things, and this will make it so much easier for us to achieve our goals. But as we promised at the beginning of today's program, that we will mention certain things in which we need to be a little hasty in. So we discussed so many things that we shouldn't be hasty in, but certain things that we must not delay, rather. Rather than just saying we must be hasty in it, let's say we should not delay. So our sulaha, our pious predecessors, have advised us regarding four things that we should not delay in. And what are those four things in which we should not delay? Number one, in burying the deceased, we should not delay. That if someone passes away, then within the shortest time that is possible, that is convenient, that we are capable of burying the person in, we should try to ensure that the person is buried. Because the person has left this mundane world. The person must now go into barzakh. The person must now go into the qabr. And unfortunately, we find that there are often delays, that we are waiting for this person to come from there, and a distant relative to fly in from another country, and the janazah is being delayed. We should not be delaying janazah that an entire day and 2 days and 3 days go. No, as soon as possible, as soon as it is manageable for us, we should try to ensure that we have the janazah and we bury the person. Another thing that should not be delayed, we should not delay the marriage of our daughters. We should not delay the marriage of our daughters. And here too, you find that from time to time, people say, no, I need my daughter to study another course and another course. And then when they are done with all their courses, then I want them to work and establish their career. And they go on for years in that way. And they think that in that way, they will find the correct and the best person to marry their daughter. But no, we should not delay in marriage of our daughters, because it then becomes more difficult many a times, and shaitan is out there, and shaitan is trying to encourage us towards wrongful relationships. And thus, we should try to rather go into marriage sooner, as we are capable of going into marriage, so that shaitan does not trick us into doing haram. May Allah Ta'ala protect us all. So that was the second thing that we should not delay in. And the third thing that we should not delay in is tawbah. Repentance, that if someone committed a sin, then do not delay tawbah, because we don't know if we are going to see the next day. Leave the next day, we don't know if we're going to see the next hour, or rather not even if we are going to see the next minute. Thus, if we've committed sins, then do tawbah immediately. Do tawbah, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh Allah azza wa jal, I beg of you to please forgive me for my sin. I feel regret in my heart for my sin, and I will not repeat it ever again. Inshallah azza wa jal. Subhanallah azza wa jal, we should do tawbah immediately. Don't delay in doing tawbah. And the fourth thing that we should not delay in is performing a good deed. Performing a good deed, we should not delay in, because we have the opportunity to perform good deeds whilst we are breathing, whilst we can see, whilst our hearts are beating, whilst we have life in our bodies. But once this life goes, our opportunity is closed. Once this life goes, our opportunity is closed, and then we cannot say that subhanallah that we wanted to say. We cannot perform that salah we wanted to perform. We cannot recite the Quran as we wanted to recite. So whilst we have life in our bodies, whilst we are blessed to be alive, and whilst we are breathing, whilst we can speak, whilst we can do things, then do good deeds, for we don't know when this opportunity will go and when we will face our deaths. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal, not to be hasty in carrying out various activities, to take our time and to ensure that we carry out our activities with calmness, with our minds being focused. And those certain things, those four things that we discussed that should not be delayed, may Allah give us the tawfiq not to delay them as well. Ameen bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Please do keep watching Madani channel, and we'll meet again inshallah azza wa jal on the next episode of this show, The Challenges of Youth. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. The challenges of youth.
O youth in the path of Islam, stand tall. O youth in the path of Islam, stand tall. With patience and prayer, you shall not fall. With patience and prayer, you shall not fall.